Jai Rama
Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Go Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Sarasatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudire Nasta Praeshwabadveshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavatitam Asloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. O nectar from the ocean of all scriptures, singular fruit of all the Vedas, rich mine, precious gems of all conclusive truths, you are the only giver of sight to the worlds. I bow down to you, ocean of Bhagavatam, supremely blissful to read. Your every syllable pours down a flood of praying. You can always be served by everyone. You are Sri Krishna himself. O bestower of saintliness to the unsaintly.
Wow.
O exalter of the most fallen. Please never leave me. Always appear in my heart and voice with pure love.
God.
How fortunate are we? The Prabhupada said, read this every day. Take one verse of the Bhagavatam. Read the Bhagavatam verse and try to understand Bhagavatam. Do it every day. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. And if you do it, it can make even an unsaintly person saintly. It's pretty miraculous. We're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 7, Scheduled Incarnations, and this is text 52. Yataharo Bhagavati
Yataharo Bhagavati
Nrinam Bhakti Ravavishyati Saravatmanya Kiladhare
Saravatmanya Kiladhare
Iti Sankalpya Varnaya Yataharo Bhagavati Nrinam Bhaktir Bhavishyati Sarvatmanya Kiladhare
Sarvatmanya Kiladhare
Iti Sankalpya Varnaya. Please chant.
Yataharo Bhagavati
Yataharo Bhagavati
Nrinam
Bhaktir Bhavishyati Saratmanya Kiladhare
Iti
Sankalpya Varnaya
Yataharo
Bhagavati
Nam
Bhakti Bhavishyati Saratmanya Kiladhare
Iti
Sankalpya Varnaya Yataharo Bhagavati Yanam Bhakti Ravishyati Saravatmanya Kiladhare Iti Sankalpya Varnaya Yataharo Bhagavati
Nrinam
Bhaktir Bhavishyati
Sarvatmanya Kiladhare
Iti Sankalpya Varnaya Yata
as much as
Haro
under the personality of Godhead.
Bhagavati,
unto the Lord.
Nrinam,
for human beings.
Bhakti,
devotional service.
Bhavishyati,
become enlightened.
Sarvatmani,
the absolute whole.
Akila Adhare,
unto the summum bonum.
Iti vas
sankalpya
by determination.
Varnaya
describe. Translation. Please describe the science of Godhead with determination and in a manner by which it will be quite possible for the human being to develop transcendental devotional service unto the personality of Godhead, Hari, the supersoul of every living being, and the summum bonum source of all energies. When I read this translation, I immediately thought of how Prabhupada came to deliver the Bhagavatam to us. And in his prayers, Markandeya Bhagavat Dharma, he goes through a divinity, divine service, a bunch of those verses, and then he says, "Oh Lord, what shall I do to help them understand? How can I teach them this message of Bhagavatam? I need your merciful benediction to persuade them. I am unfortunate, unqualified, and most fallen. I have no power to do so on my own." And then he goes on to say, "In spite of my shortcomings, somehow or other you've brought me to this country just to speak about you. Now it is up to you, O Lord, to make me a success or failure as you like." And this verse here, he says, "O spiritual master of all the worlds, only you have the power to enhance my words and therefore make them suitable for everyone's understanding." He said that his purports were his own bhakti bhava. His ecstasies were his purports. And Krishna wrote the books. So he's on the Jaladut saying, "Please, how will they understand? You have to give me the power and enhance my words. Only when you bestow your causeless mercy will my words become transcendentally pure. And by hearing these messages, all the people will certainly feel enlivened and thus be relieved of their miserable condition of life." I mean, this is the nutshell of the mission of Lord Chaitanya. Srila Prabhupada came to save everyone, and he wanted to make sure that we understood the Bhagavatam. So he prayed to Krishna to enhance his words. So how important is it to distribute these enhanced words and these bhakti bhava purports? Because he says, by hearing this, all people will feel enlivened and be relieved of their miserable condition of life. That sounds like that's like happily ever after ending there, isn't it? All you got to do, get your hands on one of these and then read it. Because if you think about it, the only thing we really have that's ours is our attention. And so you have to be careful what you give your attention to. There are consequences. We're told, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam, we're supposed to hear and chant about Krishna. And like Vaishnava says, keep the vibration going. And I try to do that in my life. When I'm not actually chanting or reading, I have Prabhupada in the background, singing or giving class. And I always remember, keep the vibration going. And advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the follower. That's according to Prabhupada in the first part of the Upadeshamrita. So you have to have an attitude of gratitude. You have to appreciate things. You have to remember the three C's. Anybody know the three C's? I didn't know them either. I read them online. Somebody posted it. A devotee posted it. One, never criticize. Two, never complain. And three, always chant.
Yes.
And the whole thing can be summarized by cooperation. This is a big deal, to cooperate. To cooperate in this world is one of the hardest things you'll ever do in your life. And if you don't believe that, just try cooperating sometime and see how hard it is. The idea is that we can give up our own personal comforts and sense gratification for a higher good, the mission of the Lord. But along the way, because it takes a while, that's Rupa Goswami says, Utsaham Nisham Darya Tat Tat Karma Pravartana. He says that you have to be enthusiastic, you have to be confident, and you have to be patient. It's not like you just get some beads and start chanting, and a week later you go, "This hasn't done anything for me, it's not working." You have to be patient, and you have to apply yourself. It's just like anything in life. Like if you want to play the flute, you go out and buy a solid silver flute. Beautiful flute. But if you don't do your arpeggios and scales, you're not going to play it. It's just like an ornament. It's useless. Or if you're on a team and you didn't go to practice, and then you get out there in the field and they're like, "Hey, what's the matter with you, idiot? You know, he didn't practice. He doesn't know our drills or anything." So the whole idea is sadhana means practice. And devotees ask me all the time, why am I always sitting there in front of Prabhupada chanting my japa? How do you go every day to the temple? Funny questions like, and I'm like, are you kidding? How can I not? I'm going out on Sangha time. I have to prepare myself. If I don't sit in front of Prabhupada and pray and chant and then chant mantras and slokas and do a chapter of Gita and a chapter of Bhagavatam and 20 pages of CC, I get out there and I feel like, you know, I don't have it. But if I pay attention and I practice, good practice, you'll feel it later. Prabhupada says here, this is from Mahanidhi's book, one of his books. It's a Riayatri book. And this is a letter. 1974, Prabhupada said, "My hope is that you will all be able to cooperate together. The temple president's in charge, and the sannyasi should not contradict instructions, but if he sees something wrong, he should bring it out to the temple president and then work out together in a Krishna conscious way. I want that you all work together cooperatively. I want that you all together work cooperatively. Keep yourself fixed in Krishna's service. Don't waste any time. Don't let even a split moment go by being engaged in the service of Maya." A split moment. So remember what I said about attention. It's the only thing we really have. And you can give your attention to a whole myriad of things. Or you can control it and bring it back to Krishna. Listen to this one. This is another letter from 75. "Your first duty as a sannyasi or GBC is to read my books. Your first duty is to read my books. Otherwise, how will you preach?" The beauty of this is that you could just be completely ignorant and hand somebody a book, and they still get the mercy because Prabhupada's there and Krishna's there. So it's kind of a far out thing. But listen to this. "To remain steady in Krishna consciousness, there must be sound philosophical understanding. Otherwise, it will become sentiment. Whenever you find any time, please read my books." So whenever you find any time, what are you supposed to do?
Read
my books. And as long as you're reading them, you should distribute a few to the other people that don't have this nectar that they get to read. Anyway. That's what I'm going to do. Okay, here we go. Purport. This is the Bhakti Bhav of the Acharya. Srimad Bhagavatam is the philosophy of devotional service and the scientific presentation of man's relationship with the Lord. Prior to the age of Kali, there was no need for such a book of knowledge to know the Lord and his potential energies. But with the beginning of the age of Kali, human society gradually became influenced by four sinful principles: illegitimate connection with women, intoxication, gambling, and unnecessary killing of animals. Because of these basic sinful acts, man gradually became forgetful of his eternal relation with God. Therefore, man became blind, so to speak, to this ultimate goal of life. The ultimate goal of life is not to pass a life of irresponsibility like the animals and indulge in a polished way in the four animal principles, namely eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating. For such a blind human society in the darkness of ignorance, Srimad Bhagavatam is the torchlight to see things in proper perspective. Therefore, it was necessary to describe the science of God from the very beginning, or from the birth of a phenomenal world. As we have already explained, Srimad Bhagavatam is so scientifically presented that any sincere student of this great science will be able to understand the science of God simply by reading it with attention or regularly hearing it from a bona fide speaker. Everyone is hankering after happiness in this life, but in this age, the members of the human society, blind as they are, do not have the proper vision that the personality of God is the reservoir of all happiness, because he is the ultimate source of everything. Janma yasya yataha. Happiness and complete perfection without hindrance can be achieved only by devotional relationship with him. It is only by his association that we get free from the distressful material existence. Even those who are after the enjoyment of this material world, they can also take shelter of the great science of Srimad Bhagavatam, and they will be successful at the end. Narada is therefore requested or ordered by his spiritual master to present this science with determination and in good plan. Narada was never advised to preach the principles of Bhagavatam to earn a livelihood. He was ordered by his spiritual master to take the matter very seriously in a missionary spirit. Namaste Munamapi, Sachiputra Matrasurupam, Rupam Tasyagirajam, Ruparin, Maturim, Gostavatim, Radha Kundam, Giribaramaho, Radhikamadavasham, Prapto Jasya Pratiti Kripaya, Sri Gurum, Tamana Tasma. O Krishna, the very fragrant river of your loving pastimes, which is a million times sweeter than nectar, flows within the Srimad Bhagavatam and other Puranas. But the calf of my mind prefers to enter a cave to drink the poison of sense gratification. O Krishna, O Lord of the calves, please quickly curb the calf of my mind with the stick of your mercy and bring it back to the river of your pastimes. That's Rupa Goswami. And if you follow the instructions of Rupa Goswami, like he says in the Upadeshamrita, that you can actually make spiritual progress even in this fallen age of Kali. If you chant japa, if you hear Prabhupada's books, or if somehow if you can't read, if you just listen to Prabhupada's words, and try not to be offensive, the biggest problem we have is that we get bored. We're not tasting a high, at least speaking for myself, we're not tasting a spiritual taste all the time. And so we remember other tastes that we had before, and we usually lean back on those. And we all know that those are frustrating and those are not satisfying. But unfortunately, if you don't practice strong sadhana, it will be really, really hard to be serious and sincere in your progress. Now, everybody wants to go back to Godhead. Everybody loves Prabhupada. But it's a long time. I've been practicing this for 50 years. And some days I get up and I don't feel much different than I did 50 years ago. And that's because of my own personal anartas and my aparadhas. And these are the only things that can stop us. Vrindavan Das Thakur says that spiritual goals remain unattainable as long as one is critical of others. And he says critical of others. He doesn't say critical of Vaishnavas or critical of pure devotees. He just says critical of others. So you got to ask yourself, how are your spiritual goals going lately? Because we want our spiritual goals. We want to be good. We want to go back to Godhead. And many of us, many devotees I know, I have personal examples in my life of devotees that took Prabhupada's mercy and they never looked back. And you can see that it works. And as long as we aren't offensive and as long as we're open to it, you have to give yourself to the process. Like I said, you take your attention, you give it to Prabhupada. You have to look at your day and say, how long did I spend with Prabhupada today? Prabhupada knew who he was dealing with. That's why he made up this thing called the morning program. Prabhupada's schedule. It's an intense schedule. Get in the temple at 4, 4:30, Mangal Arati, right? And right after Mangal Arati, Tulsi Puja. And right after Tulsi Puja, some prayers, and then japa for a couple of hours. And then after japa, you greet the Lord, and then you have Guru Puja, and then you have Bhagavatam class. Now, if you do that, Prabhupada looked at us and said, you know, maybe if they start 5-6 hours a day doing spiritual things, maybe they'll get through the rest of the day without going completely nuts. And he was right, because we saw what happened to devotees that didn't participate, and all of a sudden our temples were empty, and devotees were like, where'd you go? Where'd all the devotees go? And when I joined, every temple had devotees. I mean, you'd come in the morning, there'd be like 75 devotees in the Chicago temple. There was 60 devotees in the Cleveland temple. There was almost 100 devotees in the Detroit temple. And people didn't participate, and the next thing you know, like, where'd everybody go? And I mean, back in that day, I mean, that was back in the day when you saw the bucket for the mop, and somebody had taken a magic marker and wrote, stool room on it. Remember those days? Maybe you weren't there. I thought that was so strange. I saw that and I was like, really? But But I tell you what, we used to offer our obeisances to each other every day. You'd see a devotee who said, please accept my obeisances, Prabhu, and you'd hug. And it was like, you know, it's just our family, we're all in this together, you know, it's like, and we'd go on Sangatan, it was like, it's a war. In Cleveland, we'd go out first on Harinam, you know, freezing. Downtown Cleveland in January, and then we're out there having Harinam for about 3 hours. And then we'd put on, you know, regular clothes and go out and distribute books for the rest of the day. And we'd stop for prasadam for, you know, 15 minutes or something, but most of our time was fully engaged. And I got to tell you, I was happy. Time flew by. Those first 7 years for me when I was actually, you know, trying, you know, I was in good association and I hadn't looked out yet, you know what I mean? When you're going to back to Godhead, there's all these, like, side roads you could take. And if you get distracted, you never know. You could waste lifetimes. But you have to be sincere, serious, and don't resent the principle. If you come back to your sadhana once you've fallen, once you've blown it, you come back and you pray, please forgive me. That's a lot of my prayers. Please forgive me. Please engage me. Please let me do this. And if you apply yourself, and you know, maybe your schedule is weird, you can't come to the temple, you gotta go to a job, you gotta be there, whatever. You still have to make a plan. You have to make a schedule in your life to chant and to read. And if you can't chant 16, you should make a plan to chant 4 or chant 2 or chant 1 or chant 1 mantra. It says in the Bhagavat Mahatmya that if you chant a sloka of the Bhagavatam, you get this and that and all this benefit. If you chant a half a sloka, a quarter sloka, or even just one word of the sloka, you get liberated just for that. And I mean, and when I come to the temple here every day, we do at least one verse of Bhagavatam every day. So we're getting that mercy. And if you take it a little bit farther, and I mean, the world's filled with sannmohita jivas. They're lost. People are out there, like, I met this kid the other day. He's one of the nicest kids. He told me, I handed him the Perfection of Yoga. He said, I got to go, I'm in a hurry. I said, well, just take this book. And he saw it and he stopped the car and he just turned off the car and said, I need this. I was like, wow, that usually doesn't happen. And he's like 23, 24-year-old guy. And I said, what? And he goes, I'm a Buddhist. I said, oh, great, you're going to love this. So then he told me, he said, I joined the Navy because I was seeking. And he said, as soon as I got in basic training, he went to Great Lakes up in Chicago, and he went to basic training, and he said, as soon as he got in basic training, he realized he had to overcome the mundane level. He wasn't going to make it if he didn't transcend. So he became a Buddhist. So then I showed him the Bhagavad Gita, of course, and I showed him, I said, here's Buddha, you know, here's the Dasavatara. And then I showed him, he was looking at the pictures, and he saw that picture, you know, with the cow head on the guy, and the guy's chopping off the cow's head. And he saw that, and he goes, whoa, karma. I go, yeah, and he goes, can I be a Buddhist and not be a vegetarian? But this is how much the poor guy knew about being a Buddhist. I mean, if you're a Buddhist, you're an ahimsa guy. You're a non-violent person. I'm a Buddhist. What's a Buddhist? Who the hell knows? He didn't know. So I explained a few things to him, and I showed him, you know, I said, read the Bhagavad Gita, you'll be fine, you know. And then he said, which I loved, he goes, can you tell me what's the best mantra to chant? And I was like, yeah, I can do that. And I whipped out one of my cards, you know, and I gave him the card, and I told him to chant the mantra, and he was so happy. The poor kid didn't have any money. I was like, I mean, this is the kind of guy who usually gives you $50 because he's so happy he found something that he was looking for. But he was such a nice kid, and it made my day. I felt so much better. Now, to contrast that, I was down in another place distributing books. And I was talking to this old lady. She had just bought a cookbook from me. And from over my shoulder comes a chicken bone. And it hits her car. Boom! You know, it goes flying. And I'm like, and then another one comes flying over my shoulder. So some I picked, I didn't want to give them the pleasure of going, hey, you know, so I just kind of stood there like nothing was happening, still talking to this lady, she was giving me some money. And I'm thinking, I pictured a couple of Bubbas in pickup trucks, you know, eating chicken, throwing the bones at me like that. Then three or four more bones. And none of them hit me. Thank you, Prabhupada. I didn't get hit by the greasy chicken bones. But this is what we're dealing with out here in the material world in Kali Yuga. Prabhupada said in Kali Yuga, you need books. Back in the day, you didn't even need books. You know, at least you told them something, they learned it, they remembered it. But, and I never did see who was throwing those chicken bones at me, but you just never know when you go on a Saturday time what's going to happen. I mean, somebody might love you, they might give you a donation, they might buy books, or they might throw chicken bones at you. You never know what they're going to do because they're gone down the road bonkers, you know. All they're going to do is end up in hell because they eat, sleep, mate, defend, that's all they do. And they do it over and over and over again. And they try their best to enjoy life, but it's a losing thing. You can't do it. The beauty of Krishna consciousness is that if you actually become conscious of Krishna, you won't be that person anymore. You won't be the rascal that you used to be because you'll be conscious of Krishna. So the whole idea of book distribution and preaching is to teach everybody to become Krishna conscious. And if you're thinking of Krishna, it's pretty hard, you know, to do sinful stuff. I mean, I have personal experience in this. If you're thinking of Krishna, you can avoid things. It's not easy, and you have to work on it. But Prabhupada's so kind to us, he spoon-fed this to us. All we have to do is be nice, don't be offensive, don't criticize, don't complain, always chant, and participate in it. And it, somehow or other, if you could throw a few books in your car and hand them to the people. I was standing just getting gas the other day. And this lady standing next to me looked over, and I got three books in my hand because I can't not be prepared, you know? If somebody walks by me, I gotta give them a book. So I'm standing there pumping gas and I'm holding the books. What's the book? These are books on yoga. It talks about how to get free from stress. And this lady from across the parking lot heard that, and she came running over and said, get free from stress? I gotta have one of those. So, you know, what do we have here? We have the panacea. This fixes everything. Krishna consciousness is the one in front of all the zeros. In an LA class on Queen Kunti's prayers, Prabhupada said, you Americans, you have everything. They're all zeros. But he said, if you put Krishna in front, then you have one. And one with a zero becomes 10. Another zero, 100. Another zero, 1,000. So this is the opportunity. Prabhupada has come and said, here it is. Here's Krishna Prema. The Lord came and he gave it to everybody. We were talking yesterday about Jagai and Madai. Even Jagai and Madai, they killed people, burned their houses down. They killed Brahmins. They were murderers. And what did he do? When he told them that, hey, he saved me today, Nityananda said, he saved me. And the Lord just embraced him. He fell on the ground, went into Astasaka Bhavi, just ecstasy of love of God. And that was Jagai and Madai. Of course, Madai said, hey, wait a second. We always did everything together. We were always the same. I mean, you're going to save him. Can you really save me? No, I'm not saving you. He did get saved, though, because he went to Lord Nityananda and surrendered. I was listening last night, Prabhupada's lecture in Bhubaneswar, and he sings Nitai Padakamala, and then he talks about Lord Nityananda. And he says, Nityananda. He said, Nitya means always, Ananda means pleasure. I thought that was funny how he put that. We used to say, you know, eternal ecstasy, or bliss. Prabhupada said, Nitya means always, and Ananda means pleasure. So if you associate with, and he talked about the Koti Chandra, the millions of moons. He said in the heat of the day, you work and you come home and you're fatigued. But as soon as you get the moonshine, and not moonshine, but moonshine, the shine of the moon, then you become relieved of the stress and the heat of the day. And he said, so just imagine Koti Koti moons, millions of moons. How nice that would feel. And sometimes, once in a while, I get that glimpse when I'm out on Sangatam and I'm melting out there. And I meet somebody who likes Krishna or appreciates the book, and I feel like I'm in Lord Nityananda's moonshine. So I highly recommend that whatever you do in your life, because everybody has so many things they have to do, to take a little, make a plan. First of all, make a plan for yourself to become conscious of Krishna. It's a huge thing to do, but it's a wonderful thing to try to do. And if you work on it, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Chaitanya are so kind, they will help you. And I think if they save Jagai Mata, you know, they'll save me. I haven't killed anybody, not that I remember. I don't think I killed anybody and burned down anybody's house. I mean, I did stupid stuff, but I didn't kill anybody. And plus, if you do some service, you know, you're in. I always feel like Prabhupada made this mission, and he said, like Hansaluddha was saying to Prabhupada, he said, how are we here, Srila Prabhupada? We're so unqualified. Prabhupada said, yes, you're unqualified. But he said, you came when I called. So anybody that comes when the acharya calls, and then the acharya says, come on. And you go, okay, what do I do? And he said, well, don't do that. Don't do that. And start doing this. And then when you do that, you're supposed to become Krishna conscious, and then you're supposed to give it to everybody else. Jarigakotahaka. Krishna Upadesha. If you have some Upadesha of Krishna, you've got to give it to people. It's an obligation. If you know Krishna, then you have to give Krishna to the others. And guess what? That makes you a guru. Everybody's a guru. So you don't have to freak out if somebody's a guru. Because everybody's a guru, and we can find many, many references in Prabhupada's books and the Shastra that says the Vaishnava has that duty. He has to try to help the others. And I'm here to tell you that if you don't have that in your heart already, then open any one of Prabhupada's books and just start reading. You can open these books anywhere, and whatever Prabhupada said, it goes in your heart and it will help you. And if you pay attention, you can help others. Share a little bit more of this now. In serving the spiritual master's instructions, disciples are empowered. So if you follow Prabhupada, he will give you the strength to do it. I know a lot of devotees who go, I can't chant 16 rounds, it takes too long. And then they make the mistake of not chanting. And that doesn't help. Time keeps going by. And if you're not going up, you're going down. You don't just sit on a level platform. If you're not making progress, you're sliding back down. And you don't want to do that. By the sound, transcendental sound vibration of the spiritual masters, the disciple becomes empowered. Now, if you take shelter of the words of the spiritual master, just like I said, if you don't like to read or if you're illiterate or blind or whatever excuse is to never ever read, you can just take your phone or whatever the device you use and go, and all of a sudden Prabhupada's giving Bhagavatam class. Or Vaish or Radhanath or Indrajuna. There's so much on your little phone right in your pocket. You just push the right button. Remember the attention. You got to give your attention to somebody. If you don't give it to Krishna, you're going to give it to all, everybody else. So don't waste your attention. We have small attention spans, but they're ours. This is mine. I don't have to listen to the news or the radio or the politics or whatever it is. Because my experience out talking to people out there, they're so absorbed in politics, you know, and they hate this one, and they hate that one, and they hate you because you like that one, and you wore that hat, and you didn't wear a mask, and you wore a mask. Everybody's like, it's Kali Yuga. Everybody's mad at everybody. It's like they wake up mad. So if devotees don't go out and try to help these mad Sanmohita Jivas, what's their hope? They're going to hell. That's a fact. Now, they have all been delivered, according to Haridas Thakur in Antilila, when he asked the Lord, what are we going to do with all these fallen souls? The Lord asked Haridas, rather. And Haridas said, "These whole universe has already been delivered from your kirtan in Srivasana. It's already a done deal." So, you know, if somebody tells you this is already done, all you got to do is go out there and act like you're in it, you know? The duty's already been done, like Arjuna, you know? It's like, yeah, you're not doing this. I'm doing this. Just go along with it. So remember, don't be critical. Don't complain. Don't be offensive. Try to be nice. It sounds ridiculous, but it's really, in Kali Yuga, it's a huge plus when somebody's nice. And when I approach people on Sankirtan, I always try to be polite. And even if they go, get out of here, I see different people, because, you know, I see their bodies. I see white, I see brown, I see, you know, and I see Latinos, and I run to Latinos because they're very friendly. And they'll take a book and give you a donation, even if they don't speak English. And I always bring Spanish books with me. So I see this big Latino guy come walking out. I go, "Hey, man," I give him a lollipop, and he takes it and he goes, "Ah!" You know, and he just said, "Yeah, get out of here." And I was like, I walked away thinking, oh, Latinos usually aren't that vicious. You know, they're usually nice to me. I wonder. Half hour later, the dude came back. He bought me a Coke. I didn't drink it because I don't like Coke. I don't like caffeine. It's a cheap drug. But he said, "Please forgive me. I was going through a really bad moment, and the last thing I needed was to meet you." And he said, "But I was really mean to you. I'm sorry. Here. Here's a Coke." And I said, "Whoa." And he started to walk. I said, "Wait a minute." I said, "Here." So I gave him a Spanish perfection of yoga. And I was thinking, because when he did that to me, I wasn't mad at him. I was like, what the hell is that? You know, you guys are usually friendly. And when you're on Sangachan, you look for friendly. I do anyway. I need, you know what I mean? I don't see a guy who's like, you know, giving me the finger and I want to go talk to him, you know? I look for people that are chill and friendly, and I'm not going to have to fight with them, because we're not really out there to convert people. We're just out there to meet the nice ones. Like Vaishnavas, we're looking for ripe fruits. You go to a mango tree and you won't want that mango, and it won't come off. You can break it off, but it's not a ripe mango. Idiot. So you go for the ripe fruits. And when I approach people, I wonder, what are they going to say? Because who the hell am I to walk up to your car and hand you a lollipop? Or a cult literature. I met a Christian, of course I meet a lot of Christians. But I met this Christian lady a couple days ago, and she had a Bible right there on the truck, you know, right on the dash. And she gave me a $5 donation, and she was wondering why, if I was a Christian, why I was distributing books on yoga. And I said, well, I was raised Catholic because I was born Irish, and it was forced on me. And I said, but I wasn't happy with it. It didn't tell me much. And I didn't like seeing Jesus on the cross every time I went to church. It was a hellish thing to see. I mean, he's got the thorns, and he's nailed on the cross. Who wants to see that? And that's your God that you love? He came to save you? What'd you do? Oh, we nailed him to a tree. I mean, I hated church. Hated it. So I told the lady, I said, I was raised Catholic, and I did not like it. I said, but these books, the ancient wisdom literatures, talk about how we can reawaken and rekindle our relationship with God. And so she bought it. She went, okay. Wait till she gets home, you know? And her husband sees it. What the hell is this? Yoga? Isn't that a cult? People are so confused. And that's another reason why the devotees have to be, just like that Gasparilla. You've probably seen some of those videos. The devotees are down there having kirtan, and you know, these pirate, drunk idiots, hundreds of thousands of them. I used to work it, but I promised myself a couple years ago I wouldn't do it anymore. It's just too hard. You walk it, people are puking all over, they're drunk, and it's loud, and you know, you gotta try to, it's hard. And then you gotta give them a book, even if you get them to look at you, give them a lollipop, ask them to give it to them, whatever you're doing. And then you got to try to give them the, yeah, it's hard. So I said I wouldn't go, but I loved watching the video. The videos were hilarious. Those people dancing, everybody, and the devotees are bringing them in, you know, and the devotees are kind of piling it up, you know. It was really, really cool. What a venue for Lord Jagannath. 300,000 idiots are going to go out and get drunk and eat meat. So what do? We just march down the middle of the thing with the Lord and give out Prasadam books and the Holy Name. I mean, that's an amazing venue. I wish I had a venue like that. I can't find venues where there's 300,000 people there. You know, you just weed through them. Because when I'm out there, you know, I look around the parking lots, because wherever I go, it's not like they invite you in. Please, come to our mall and sell your books. It's not at all like that. So you're always looking around, you know, to make sure everything's cool. And you walk up to people, you don't know what they're going to say. They don't know you, and they're already angry because they woke up mad. Plus, if you looked at their lives, you'd really feel sorry for them because, you know, they got issues. And we all got issues, but non-devotees, man, they have no shelter. I mean, a devotee has to go through stuff. I mean, devotees get sick, devotees die. devotees blue. Some devotees become Muslims. Some devotees become rabbis. Some devotees, I was just talking to somebody about a devotee, a Prabhupada disciple, became a rabbi. Whatever, different strokes for different folks. Personally, I kind of like to take Prabhupada's words, you know, literally. And when Prabhupada says, this is what you do, then you should try to do that. Even if you can't do it, don't resent the principle, be humble, and apply yourself as much as you possibly can. Whatever that means, like I said, one round, one mantra, just say, Hare. That's the beginning. And take baby steps, you know. Bhagavad Gita says, Shanai, Shanai, step by step. And if you're following, luckily we have Prabhupada. So we have guidance, and we know what the goal is. We just have to apply ourselves. Thank you very much for listening. And does anybody have anything they want to say? This would be the time. Himavati Prabhu. Himavati's been going out to that book table, what, 3-4 days a week now? I love it that you're doing
it. It's too ecstatic, I can't stop.
Because I had to stop there, and I didn't even know we had a book table. I had to stop in there and get something. And I go walk up, there's Himavati at the book table with 2 books.
Just that it's easy for me because you don't have to walk. You can sit. I have something to say about that transcendental book distribution. I think what makes you go on most is the reciprocation of the Lord. It's tangible. It is on daily basis, and it's completely extraordinary how Krishna will work. And I want to tell you a little Sankirtan story about this. So I'm at the table, and that day it was very bad. I was getting only $1, even for big books. So I said to Krishna, I said, listen, it's very nice, the books are going out, but I need Lakshmi to buy more books. So here comes this guy from the tax collecting, out of the tax collecting building, and he holds me his ticket, because at the tax collector building, you have tickets where you have to wait until they give your number. And sometimes you have to wait even an hour or two. So he said to me, I will pay you if you tell me when this number is gonna come out, and you phone me and I will go in. So he hands me a $20. And then I was thinking, oh Krishna, you are so amazing, you never know how he's gonna respond.
Nice, never give up, that's my thing. I was out, I do the villages a lot because I like old people and I feel sorry for them, and in the villages they have this mantra, they say, we're toads, we came here to croak. And most of the people I talk to in the villages are 80 and up. I do talk to their kids that come down, the snowbirds come down because it's freezing up north. And I sell books to them too, but mostly I talk to the old people. And they're ancient. So I met this lady sitting in her car waiting for her husband, and I give her the cookbook and blah, blah, give her a donation. She opens her wallet. Another thing I like about old people, they're cash people. All the yuppies have debit cards. I want my money, this is my car, this is my phone, now here's my money. Yeah. Jesus, I'd go back in a second. But the lady goes, and I knew she was old, but she told me she was 95. So I give her the cookbook, I give her a donation. She opens her wallet, she got like $1,000 and $100 bills. And I said, I can break 100, no problem. She goes, I'm 95 years old. Money's not my problem. And she gave me $100, you know, for the cookbook. I split, because I figured her husband's going to come back and say, where'd you get the cookbook? Oh, I just bought it for $100. Where is that guy? But I heard that woman say from her heart, money's not my problem. Because she's going to be dead in a minute. You know, she's got hundreds of dollars in her pocket. It's not going to do her any good. She's 95. So, and everybody's 95. You know, kids die all the time. You can't, in other words, there's no excuse to not share this. Does everybody get my point? My point is that we got it. Especially us, you know, the Prabhupada disciples have been trying to get this for years, decades. Now we have it. What are we going to do with it? Let's give it out. What's that mantra? The jealousy. What is it? Oh, the greed. The jealousy and the greed is the unraveling. It's the unraveling, and it undoes all the joy that could be. That's a good mantra, huh? That's from the Joni Mitchell Samhita. But I like that. The greed and the jealousy ruins everything. We have these six enemies in us, you know? Kama, Krodha, right? Moha, Mada, Matsarya. These things are powerful. And if Krishna doesn't take them off of you, you're not getting out of it. Daivihesha Gunamayi. You can't say, all right, lust, let's go at it. You know, I got it. You're not going to win that fight. So you have to take shelter. Again, what did I say? Take shelter, be nice, don't be offensive, and try to do some service. That's another thing. Kama Pravartana, take what you've learned and do something with it. Okay? Ragatmika for Boo. An exalted Prabhupada disciple, book distributor.
Not as much as I should. Hare Krishna, is this on? Yeah. Thank you. I like that. Keep the vibration going. I don't mean to be negative, but last night I heard from a person who was serving out next to me. I said, oh, are you new to the community? And or are you just visiting? He says, I moved here. I says, from where? He said, New York. I says, which temple? He said, Long Island. And he said, this is so sad. It's about the point you made that, you know, the temples used to be full, right? And who's there now, or how many? He said, not many come at all. And even the pujari, when he comes and nobody shows up, he doesn't even do the arti.
I wish you wouldn't have told me that.
I am sorry, but...
That hurts my heart.
It's just, no, this is so important, how we must maintain what Prabhupada has given us.
Bahanam Jamanamate, right? It's not like everybody's going to do this.
Wow.
But we should, especially Prabhupada's disciples and anybody who's a follower of Srila Prabhupada. We should make it our business. I always, devotees ask, because I always get the question, gee, you go to the temple every day, how do you do that? Well, I don't have a social life. I go to bed early. I don't party. I go to sleep. I wake up at 2:30, quarter to 3, so I got to chant my rounds. I got to do my mantras. If you don't make a plan, it's not going to happen. It's like the flute you bought, solid gold flute, sitting in your closet because you never practiced. It's our fault. Right? What's the verse? Tatina Kampansu Shamik Shamano. Bunjana Evatma Kritam. Evatma Kritam means we did it to ourselves. It's all about choices. We made bad choices. We left the spiritual world to come here. What were we thinking? God. And then you get here, and then somehow or other, by mercy, you get Prabhupada, and he goes, here, idiot, get up out of the gutter. Do something right. And then somehow or other, you think, well, wait a second, did I forget something back there, over there? There must be something. Because you're supposed to go that way. And I'm here to tell you that it is possible to do, and we do have examples of it on the planet right now, of devotees that have actually followed Prabhupada strictly. Hell, we have them right here in our own community. Devotees that are nice devotees, very Krishna-conscious devotees. And that's the hope for the future. Enough? I have to go because I have to cook for Mahotsa's party. I got 15 brahmacharis coming for lunch. I should get some mercy for that. Thanks.